All right, good evening, everyone. Prayerfully, everyone is having a blessed evening as we are on today. And as always, we like to say praise the Lord. Thank the Lord for yet another day in the land of the living and another chance to get our acts together. Today is April 11th, 2024, and week 271. If you're new around here, welcome to Joy in the Midst of the Storm. This is a program where we like to do weekly live stream Bible studies and shortly upload audio versions to every major podcast platform shortly thereafter. And if you've been with us for a while, as we always like to say, welcome back. Thank you guys for tuning in week in and week out, trying to hear what thus says the Lord. We do have a few early comments. Kiara says, praise the Lord. Sister Vanilla says, praise the wonderful name of Jesus. And David says, praise the Lord, everyone, and God bless you in Jesus' name. So praise the Lord to you three. Thank you so much for tuning in and leaving a comment and being one of the early comments. So we hope that you guys enjoy the message just as well as everyone else. And as you can see from the title, it says, learn to fight. So without any further ado, I'm going to pass it over to Minister Tony Banks. And prayerfully, we all get something out of this message and learn how to apply these things learned to our daily lives.
Thank you, Melvin. Let us go into a word of prayer. Gracious Lord, we first and foremost thank you, Lord, for how good you have been to us. Lord, we thank you for being a God that loves us, a God that cares, a God that appreciates us, Lord, even when we don't appreciate ourselves. Lord, we thank you for the ways that you've made, Lord, from just where you brought us from, Lord, the things you saved us from, Lord. So many people might be struggling from some of the same things that you've blessed us to overcome, Lord. So we don't take it for granted. We don't believe that we're so great, Lord. We believe that you're great. And that you're mighty and that you're wonderful and that you're the everlasting Father, Lord, the Prince of Peace. And so, Lord, we give you all the honor. We give you all the praise. And we're asking that you would continue to be with us, Lord. Continue to lead and guide us into all truth, Lord. Continue to shelter us. Continue to protect us, Lord, from seen and unseen danger, Lord. We're praying that no matter what happens to us in this life, continually remind us that there is a reason to have joy in the midst of every storm, trial, and tribulation, Lord. Help these things that we're praying to not be just words, Lord, to not be repetition, Lord, to not be a ritual, Lord, but something that's truly real to us, Lord. We're praying all these blessings, Lord, tonight that you alone would increase and that we would all decrease and that your word would go forth. But we're praying all these blessings in your tremendous name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
God bless each of you. If you cannot hear me loud enough, please let me know. I was informed last time that someone couldn't hear me well, but I don't know. Sometimes it's a problem only on one person's end, but nonetheless, we can make adjustments if need be. We appreciate all of you for joining us tonight. God has been good, even though a lot of terrible things are taking place as we look around the condition of the world. Even here recently, over the past couple of days or so, we have seen just the devastation that has transpired due to all of the rain. And to my knowledge, I did not see that it was a hurricane. Nonetheless, there has been so much rain and so many places have been flooded. Even lives have been lost, homes being destroyed. And so, you know, our hearts go out to, and our prayers go out to all of those that have been affected. And we're trusting in God to step in and turn a situation that looks so grim and so very bad for him to turn it around, because that's the type of God that we serve. You know, I was thinking about some things earlier and the scripture that came to my mind, and is, you know, none of us want to lose anything. You know, we don't have a desire to lose our possessions. We don't have a desire to lose money or whatever things that we have worked so hard to get. But, you know, the Bible tells us that the Lord giveth. Job told us that the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. And he still turned around and said, blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, regardless of what situation we find ourselves in tonight, and I know it is a tough thing to do. It is so much, It is easier said than done. But when we do find God take some things from us, we still have to remain in that place of thankfulness, as tough as it is, you know, because the truth is, God still will turn a situation around and we will end up better than what we were before we ever lost anything. God will turn it around. That's what he did for Job. God allowed Job to start losing things, and God blessed Job. Somebody said double for his trouble. I don't know if that's how God thought of it, but you know, Melvin, we come up with some catchphrases and we like to make things sound good, but God blessed him with double what he had. He had double at the end. And so that's the type of God that we serve, a God who will prosper you. But that doesn't mean he won't take you through some trying times. That doesn't mean he won't take you through some tough times, the struggle. So that's what was on my mind. And I definitely wanted to mention that tonight before we get into the Bible study, and maybe it'll come up again. But just for any of us that have been struggling and have been going through, maybe it wasn't even the flood that caused us to lose or appeared to lose. See, that's what's really happening. Things are not as though they seem. We might be losing in this present moment, but the Bible said it does not yet appear what we shall be. We don't know where God is really taking us. And so we have to remember these things as we go through life. And again, nobody wants to lose anything. Look, I don't want to lose $5. And you can say, well, that's not that much money. I don't want to make a habit of losing $5 because that adds up. And so, you know, if I could get back all of those $5 that I have lost, I might actually have some money. And so we still have to trust in the Lord with all our heart, regardless of what's happening in the world around us. We understand, you know, there's so many sad things, but God is still for us. He's still on the throne. You know, we just came through Easter, and you know, people were excited about Christ and excited that Jesus, he rose again and that he's alive. And then he sends us a lot of turmoil. Then he sends us a lot of things to shake us up. Do we still feel he's still alive? Are we still thankful that he rose again on the third day? Because it was easy on Easter Sunday when we were saying those things. But now when the rain begins to fall, when the storms come, when trials and tribulations hit us all the way around, having family problems, having problems at our job, having problems in our marriage, problems all around us, do we still feel he's on the throne? Do we still feel he rose again? So I just wanted to put that on your mind tonight. Because I understand sometimes we get shaken up, and sometimes we get discouraged, but he told us, cast not away therefore your confidence. See, what God is taking us through, there's a reward on the other side. Even if the flood comes, there's a reward. There's a reward for us, for his people, if we would just hold on and trust in him and believe in him. And so that's what I'm holding on for. Despite what God allows to come my way, I've seen it too many times that God is still able, that he still is the King of Kings. So we want to look at some things tonight. We had some questions that were submitted, and I want to encourage each of you to submit your questions. If you have anything that the Lord has laid on your heart, do submit that, because that's what we are here for, to help you to make sure that we're continuing to grow in God. And so, Melvin, if you will, read those questions for us so we can get into it tonight.
All right. They said, I don't believe that in Luke 12, 49 through 53, it had to do with political opposition. But is there something in the Bible that explains this phenomenon that's so common today, and how we are supposed to deal with it?
Let's pick up those scriptures. Luke chapter 12. And we might go back a few verses just so we get the full thing here. Let me pull that up with you guys. Let's start at 51. Luke 12. Let's actually go back to 51.
Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth. I tell you, nay, but rather division.
Now, we're finding Jesus talk here. And the question, so that Melvin didn't have to read, the full thing, we kind of condensed it. But the question was asked because the writer has noticed a situation going on. And this situation is people around the world, people that we come into contact with, we have no problem whatsoever talking about certain things that interest us. Now, the writer, the person that asked the question here, they specifically mentioned politics. But the truth is, this happens with lots of topics. With any topic a person loves, we can talk about it all day. We'll become defensive about it. We will fight over it, if you will. Maybe even if there are not physical blows thrown, we get real defensive and argumentative, and we'll scream and shout at each other and have a standoff and a debate with one another when we are really passionate about something. And so the person that asked the question, the writer here, they are specifically mentioning politics because that is something that they have seen, and we see that happen all over the news. If you are someone, and this is not a political thing by no means, but if you are someone on one side, you have a tendency to see the flaws of the opposite side. You can pick whichever side you wish. I won't get into that. But whenever a person is on one side, they see the flaws in the other side. And so the writer here has realized some people that they have interacted with, they are very passionate about certain topics. But when it comes to God, there's no passion. There's no fervor. There's no drive behind the conversation. In fact, I can't tell you how many times I have personally been speaking with people, and whenever the conversation is about sports or about even politics or about just anything that's interesting to them, it can be about trucks, it can be about cars, it can be about a TV show, a documentary, it can be about a clothing line. It does not matter. It could be about a new movie that's coming out in theaters. But when the conversation transitions to the Lord our God, who's one Lord, who we should love with all our heart, soul, mind, strength, everything we have, all of a sudden you find the fire that was in that conversation. The fire just somehow, look, all the oxygen has been taken and the fire has went out. This happens to, look, if you don't believe this, the next time you are around someone and you're having a conversation, it can be at work, it can be wherever you are, you can be in your home, start talking about God. See, as a matter of fact, just think about how often have you had conversations about God? I'm not talking about at church. I'm talking about outside of there. When you're at work, when you're on the phone and you call your friend, when your friend calls you, when you're out and about, when you meet a stranger, do you ever talk to that stranger about God? See, I can guarantee you, most of the time, that is not our conversation. And so that's what the writer here is wondering about. Why is this happening? Why are people not excited to talk about God? You know, we're not excited to talk about God just as much as people are not excited about going to church. outside of Easter Sunday, we might as well be honest with ourselves. This is how we are. And so Jesus now, he's going to talk to us about some things. I want you to start over, Melvin, in verse 51. You know what? Go to 49 and then we'll go to 51.
I am come to send fire on the earth. And what will I if it be already kindled?
See, Jesus said he was coming to send a fire. You know, we ought to be fired up about God. That's what he came here for, to send a fire and fire us up. To send the Holy Ghost to fire us up. To send the Holy Ghost to burn all of the impurities out of us, cleanse us, clean us, purify us. That isn't that what fire does? Fire corrects things. Fire gets rid. Look, whenever we're cooking, we need some type of fire. We need the heat from the fire in order to eat our food. If right now, due to the floods that have taken place, now someone is going. I was seeing reports of low water pressures. What's happening is now the water is becoming contaminated, and now we're going to need to add fire to the water, to boil the water, to clean this water so that now we can be able to consume it and use it. Fire is important. And so Jesus himself said he came to bring us another fire. He's not talking about the fire that I'm mentioning to you right now. He's talking about it from a spiritual sense. And that's what this writer is realizing. There's no fire in the people who are claiming God. We're not talking about people who don't even believe in God. We're dealing with people who are saying, I'm saved, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. People who are saying that I accept Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. We've heard the whole spiel. But these same people, the writer's wondering, why is there no fire? The fire burns out every time. Every time the Lord is started to be mentioned in the conversation, the fire just goes out. So pick us up, Melvin, in verse 51.
Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth. I tell you, nay, but rather division.
Jesus now, he said, do you think I came here to bring peace? See, we've got to get to the bottom of this. He came to bring a division, to divide us. He came. You know, we're divided about everything except the right things. We're so divided on politics. The writer brought up politics. We're divided on politics. I've got some good friends, people that I declare friends. But they are more concerned with politics than God. Look, politics, this is how the world is set up. So we're going to get to that as well. We need to respect people in their positions now. That doesn't mean, because I'm saying this doesn't mean you should disrespect the president or the Congress or the lawyers or whatever person is in position. That doesn't mean that at all. But we have taken God out of the number one place he's supposed to be in. And we've substituted it. Some have chosen politics. Some have chosen sports. See, I don't want to just pick on the person that likes politics, because somebody's going to feel I'm just picking on them, Melvin. But see, people are doing this with everything. If you want to see some people divided, look, you see a sports team. You see fans of a sports team. Having went to school at a Division I school, I've seen people fighting at the games. People throwing punches, fighting about their team. If you want to see division, look, there, people are divided. Look at how we're divided, even with race. culture, languages. You know, it's such a sad thing. When people find someone that even speaks a different language, why do we think that's funny? I haven't understood that yet, Melvin. We think it's so funny because someone speaks another language. We say, wow, that sounds so funny. Sure it does to you because you don't know the language. You're ignorant to what they're saying. They feel the same way about you. We're divided on so much except what we should be divided on. We're divided about politics. We're divided about race. We're divided about even genders. Man has become divided against the woman and the woman against the man. God never intended this. Look at the division that's in this world, but that's not what Jesus came to bring. Not the division this way. Not this way. This is not the division that Jesus is talking about. He's not dealing with politics. He's not dealing with race and gender. He's not dealing with sports and who's the best this and who's the... He's not talking about that. You won't find him discussing this in the Bible. But what he wanted us to be divided on, we don't care about it at all. So, keep reading down here for us, Melvin.
For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two, and two against three.
Mm-hmm.
The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother.
Mm-hmm.
The mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And he said also to the people, when ye see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway ye say, there cometh a shower, and now, so it is.
Now, Jesus, he said, houses, families are going to be divided. People are going to be divided. You know what he's dealing with? He's wanting us to be divided on serving him. That's what he's dealing with. See, the reality is some of us are going to choose to serve God, and some of us are not. The writer in one place, he said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Me and my house, this is what we're going to do. Now, you can do what you want, but we're going to serve God. This is a division that he's wanting, not about what race you are, whether you're a Jew or whether you're a Muslim or all of these other things. No, he's not telling us to hate people like that. See, we hate people just because we hear what belief they have or what color skin they are. All these other things. Where did they go to school at? And that's what causes us to be divided. He's wanting us to be separated because of our beliefs. And even if I believe something you might not believe, we still should have enough respect to love one another. We still should not come to the point where we say, you know what? I'm going to kill you because you feel something different. That's not what he's telling us to do. So even if someone is a Muslim, I should still love them. Even if someone is of a different faith, because the truth is, we've got all of these different faiths. We call them denominations, Melvin. See, we don't want to tell it how it is. These are different faiths. But in the book of Ephesians, he said there's one Lord and one faith. There's only supposed to be one faith. And we're supposed to be trying to find that one faith. Not just believing what our parents said or what this one said or that one said. Find the one faith, not the one denomination. Find the faith and hold on to it. That's where the division comes in. Because one person's going to want to serve God and the other is not. You know, when God, when he called Moses to go down into Egypt, Moses had left Egypt, and now God was placing it on his heart to go back into Egypt to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. And he and his wife were headed down there, but a division started. See, this is what God said. This is what Jesus is talking about. This is the type of division he's talking about. The division started, and his wife did not want him to circumcise those kids. But God had told Moses to do it. And so there was a fight that took place. And so Moses ended up having to go down into Egypt without his wife, without his kids, without his wife, by himself. He had to go on down there. We know the story. He ended up getting with Aaron, and they, God blessed them to end up bringing the people out of Israel. But that's the division he's dealing with. See, we've got to make a decision. Those of us that are married, husband and wives, if your spouse does not want to follow God, you've got to make a decision. You're still going to follow. Those that even are not married, we still have family members. You've got to decide, even though they don't want to follow God, you still have to make up your mind. I'm still going to follow him. See, this is so much more important than sports. This decision right here is so much more important than politics. It's so much more important than laws getting passed. Look, this is more important than voting. We might as well be honest about this. But I know we hold voting to a higher standard. Look, we'll crucify someone right now. If someone came out and said, yes, I didn't vote last year, you'd be ready to crucify them. You say, what are you talking about? You mean to tell me you didn't go and use your right? Somebody died for this. And they're right. Somebody did. But will you say that same thing about serving God? See, Jesus died for that too. But you're still out not doing what he said. So which one is worse, not voting or not actually following God like we're claiming? Which one's worse? See, at the end of our days, we might as well be honest with ourselves. At the end of our days, you're not going to get in heaven based on if you voted or how many times you voted. You're not going to get there for that. And you won't go to hell for that. But you will be judged depending on did you serve God. So we're fighting over the wrong thing. We're divided over the wrong stuff. It's okay now. Look, I want to encourage you to go vote. If you believe in that, go and vote. But we're divided over the wrong thing. You know, the friend I was telling you guys about, this friend will tell me, he will argue with me. Really, I don't even argue with him because I just let him go ahead and say whatever he's going to say. But they will argue you up and down all day if you allowed it, that God is about a certain political party. They say, oh, God is for this side. He's for the right side, or God is for the left. God's not for either. God is for himself. God is about righteousness. That's what he's about. He's about his commandments, his statutes, not the U.S. laws. That's not what God is about. God isn't about the laws of China. We won't be judged based on the laws of China. Now, yes, let's go and get this, Melvin, because I got to make sure I get this. 1 Peter chapter 2. Because I don't want us to get this twisted. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13.
Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake.
Read that again.
Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake.
Now you've got an obligation to submit yourself to even the laws. So I know what I just said. But we still have an obligation to follow the laws. Read for us, Melvin.
Whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well.
We have an obligation to show respect to the king, the queen. We have an obligation to respect the person who's in office, whether it be Congress, whether it's this party or that party, the White House. We have an obligation to respect the mayor, the judge, the clerk, the police officer, anyone in the position, the school teacher, who our children are disobedient to, and parents are telling the children, you don't have to listen to them. They're not your mom. They're not your dad. He said, no, you've got an obligation that you still need to submit to their orders. How many people have we seen killed because of this? Not submitting to the order. Sure, we've got some crooked police officers. There's nobody debating that. But I've seen too many instances where someone gets pulled over and instead of submitting, we want to fight. We want to run. We want to put up this big debate with them. You're in a position where you have to submit. This is how we fight. The name of this study is called Learn to Fight. See, we've got to fight the right way. We're fighting over the wrong things, and thus, that means we're fighting the wrong way. We've got to learn to fight the right way. See, the best thing you can do to protect yourself is learn to comply. Learn to submit. The scripture tells us, he tells us, agree with thine adversary whilst thou art in the way. He said, agree with them quickly. If you're at odds with someone, he said, agree quickly. You might not be agreeing that they're right, but he said, look, you don't want the situation to get worse. And it's been too many times because we have not agreed to submit. Lives have been lost. Lives that did not have to be lost have been lost because someone was angry. And the Bible said, be angry and sin not. This is why God, see, this word is to protect us. It's to teach us how to actually fight. See, I know we look at that and we say, that's not fighting. That's giving in. That's being weak. But this is the strongest thing we can do. This is how we fight. If you don't believe it, ask yourself, how did Jesus fight? How did he fight? How did he fight? Jesus, when they came to take him, Peter pulled out a sword. Because this was the only way Peter knew how to fight. He pulled out a sword. And Jesus, Peter actually cut one of the servant's ears. And Jesus said, hold on, Peter, put away thy sword into thy sheath. He said, they that live by the sword, they'll die by it. He said, that's not the way we fight. That's what he's teaching him. You've got to fight a different way. So what did Jesus do? He submitted. See, that was the will of God. See, when you just do what God asks you to do, things will turn out okay. They looked at it as, wow, Jesus is about to die now. They watched him as the people beat him. They watched him as the people crucified him. But by him fighting that way, that's how we now have an opportunity at the tree of life, an opportunity for eternal salvation. Because he fought in a way that we don't realize we need to fight this way. We don't realize we need to fight this way. The Bible says he has chosen the weak things, the weak and beggarly things of this earth to confound the wise. People think it's weak. Jesus told us in another place, he said, if someone slaps you on one cheek, he said, turn to the other. Give them the other cheek. We would look at that as weakness. But it takes so much more strength to not fight back physically. But this is a spiritual fight. And if we would learn to do this, you would win. God would step in the situation. You know, we talked about voting earlier. How did we even get that right, being Black people? How did Blacks even get the right to vote? They chose a non-physical approach. That's what Jesus taught us. If we would learn to fight this way, we'd be successful every time. But we think fighting is about guns. It's about going to the gym and learning self-defense tactics. Learning how to box, learning how to do Taekwondo and karate, and oh, I've got a black belt. That's what we think learning to fight is. But I hear the word of the Lord. He said, put on the whole armor of God. See, you've got to put on the word of God. That's how we fight. And the word of God told us, he said, submit. You can save yourself if you would do what God asks you. People are going to look at it as weak sometimes. Because you choose to let something go, because you choose not to keep pursuing something and keep fighting something, you just say, you know what? I'll let God handle it. People think that's weak. But the word of the Lord said, vengeance is his. He'll fight the battles for us. I think there's a song that says, you've got to know when to hold them. Know when to fold them, know when to walk away. You've got to, look, we need to know what God wants us to do. So yes, this is happening. People are passionate about whatever things they're passionate about. It's a phenomenon that's happening all across the world. Jesus told us a parable of how this person made a marriage supper for their son. And all of the people, the Bible said, at one consent, they all began to make excuse. See, that was the same issue we're facing today. Somebody said, I bought a piece of land. I guarantee you, if they had have stuck around to talk about their land, that person would have talked all day about it. They say, oh, it's a good land. Oh, it's X amount of acres. Yeah, I'm planning to put this on the land. Then over here, I'm planning to put that right there. And then I'm going to do this. See, that's what I'm going to do in a couple years. And then after that happens, then I'm going to go back and I'm going to change this. And I'm going to fix it this way. See, we can talk all day about that. Somebody else said, I married a wife. I guarantee you, they could talk about their lovely wife all day. I guarantee you. Everyone had an excuse. That's the same thing that's going on today. When the word of God comes forth, when we bring God into a conversation, everyone has an excuse why they just can't talk about this. Somebody told me one time, Melvin, they said, it's just not appropriate for the workplace. But everything else is. You're talking about everybody else's business. That's not yours. The Bible said being a busybody in other men's matters. You're all being a busybody in everybody else's business, but you're telling me the word of God is not appropriate for the workplace. You know what? There's going to come a time where you're going to feel the word of God is appropriate. And when you find yourself in hell, my God, it's not going to be appropriate for you to call on God because it's too late. It won't even be appropriate once you lift up your eyes in hell because you have neglected the Lord our God. It won't be appropriate then. See, it's appropriate now, but then it's going to be too late. And you tell me it's just not appropriate. But politics is appropriate. Sports is appropriate. Somebody getting married is appropriate. Somebody just bought a new house. It's appropriate. Somebody just made this purchase. We just sold $1 million worth of merchandise. That's appropriate. But when it comes to the word of God, we say it's not appropriate for the workplace. We're living in dangerous times. And so the question was asked, how do we deal with it? We've got to learn to fight. Pick us up, Melvin. I want to move over to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3 and verse 8.
This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men.
I've said it before. If you want a business person, there's no better business person than God. Now, God's not a person now, as we think, but I'm putting it that way. He's concerned with us making a profit. And the reality is, a lot of things that we spend our time doing serve us no profit. So he says, Paul now, writing to Titus, he said, be careful now. He said, be careful to maintain good works. Those of us that believe in God. See, this is the division that we're talking about. This is how we learn to fight. This is how we handle these situations. We've got to be different. He said, in the Old Testament, he said, put a difference between holy and unholy. That's the division we're dealing with, not division between black and white. Oh, no. Not the division between a man and woman. No. We should love one another regardless of any of those things. The division needs to come between those of us who want to be holy and those that don't. There should be a different lifestyle. I shouldn't go around lying. And here I am claiming to be holy. That's not holiness. I can't be calling myself the child of God, but living the same way as the person that doesn't even claim God. There's no difference. So he said, be careful now to maintain good works. Don't let people fool you into thinking your works don't matter. Read for us, Melvin.
But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain.
This is what we must do. When we find people are so passionate about certain things, but not about God, he said, avoid that stuff. Avoid the foolish questions. Avoid the foolish conversations. Avoid the contentions, the fights about nothing, the debate. He actually used that word in one place, debate. People love to debate stuff. They've got what they call a debate team, Melvin. They've got a debate team. But it's all for nothing. See, I don't come on here to debate with people. If someone has a serious question, we can talk about that. But for the sake of debate, for the sake of, oh, Tony won that debate, that means nothing. There's no profit to that. See, there is profit when someone's life is changed, when someone says, huh, maybe I'm looking at it the wrong way. See, that's where a profit is. See, this thing is about souls being saved. Not for fun, not for bragging rights. To say who's this, who's that. Oh, this is the greatest debater out there. That means nothing. The Bible said he that is wise wins souls. So if we find ourselves surrounded by people who don't want to even discuss God, look, you've got to know there's some conversations we've got to avoid. Because people love to talk about some inappropriate things. Don't allow them to get you caught up. Because before you know it, you'll fall into those same traps they're in. We'll fall into the same sins that they're in. And this is the difference that Jesus came to make. This is the division that he wants. He wants us to be separated. Not to be high-minded now. Don't be separate thinking we're better than someone. God's people, those of us who are children of God. It's not to think we're better than anyone. Because we're not. Bible says we're less than nothing. Who am I to think I'm something and I'm the dirt of the ground? That's where he made me from. That's where he made you from. Who are we to put on a nice colored shirt and all of a sudden the shirt makes us feel like we're more? The logo on the shirt makes us feel like something. The price tag on the shirt, because it's a $300 shirt, we think we're something. This is not the mind of Christ. See, we've got to learn how to fight. He said, avoid that stuff. The foolish conversation, the foolish questions. Sometimes people ask you questions, Melvin, those questions. They come up with all these hypothetical scenarios just to have something to talk about. Why not come up with some questions about God? But yet we can come up with the most foolish questions whatsoever. Stuff that will never happen. But this is how we are. So he said, avoid these things. This is how we fight. But we have to put a difference. That's what Jesus came for. I can guarantee you, there was a difference between his disciples and the Pharisees. When Jesus left and he sent back the Holy Ghost, there was a difference between his disciples. See, if you pick up his disciples, if you pick up even the apostles, the Pharisees told them, look, don't be going around preaching and teaching in the name of Jesus. But they kept doing it because Peter said it's better for them to obey God rather than man. And so they did this, and the Pharisees put them into prison, whipped them. And you know what? Though you cannot find in the word of God where those disciples, they used their self-defense tactics. Peter pulled out the sword again and he cut somebody's head off this time. You won't find it. He didn't do it. He learned how to fight with the word of God. And so because he chose this non-violent approach, that's how he was victorious. Even to the point where one time he was in prison and an angel came and took him out of the prison. And when the people saw him, look, they thought he was a ghost. They thought, they didn't even know he actually was alive. Even Peter himself, he didn't know it was real. So if we take this approach, we have to stand up for God. We have to stand for what's right, but that doesn't mean you just argue with people. See, we've got to know, you know, this thing is not, you don't have to beat someone up to cause them to believe in the truth. That's one of the main things, one of the first things God dealt with me on when I became a preacher some years ago. I wanted people to see this so bad. I wanted people to know the word of God is true. And I spent so much time trying to persuade someone, but I had to realize the Bible says some plant and some water, but it's God that gives the increase. See, it's God that's going to change someone's mind. It's God that's going to persuade them. You can talk to people. You can stand up and live right. But it takes God. So realize it's not you. This is how we handle these things. Realize you don't have control over someone. That's one of the toughest things in the world, is to surrender control. When you want someone to do something so bad, because you see what they're currently doing is hurting them. That's what it's about. You don't want to see them hurt. We don't want to see anyone lost and go to hell. And so because that is the case, we'll try to talk to them about God all the time. We'll try to bring up church. We'll try to bring up all these things. And we should. But we have to realize we've got to give them time. Just keep doing what God told us to do. That's all we must do. Keep living this holy life. Keep making a difference. See, they might go to some places that we say, no, I'm not going there. They might go to some events that we say, no, I'm not going there. They might have some conversations and we say, I'm not getting involved with that conversation. See, that's the difference that Jesus was bringing. That's the difference. So when we live this way, the scripture is becoming fulfilled. But just because someone isn't passionate about God right now, just remember, that doesn't mean they won't be in the future. Now, that's not a guarantee, and that's not saying it'll happen next month, but I know for a fact there was no way at 7:30, just about 7:30 Central Time on a Thursday night, you could have found me about, what, 6-7 years ago in a Bible study. Not just teaching a Bible study, you would not have found me in a Bible study. Forget teaching one. So what I'm saying is, it might be 6 years before the people who we're hoping and praying will change, but somebody's going to change. See, somebody's going to change their life. I can't tell you everyone's going to God, because the Bible tells us, I know everyone's not. But somebody's going to wake up and realize one day that God is appropriate. I hope and pray that the person that even told me in the past that it wasn't appropriate, I hope God is working on them right now, getting them to the place where they realize it's always appropriate to discuss God. And so I thank God for growth. I thank God that He's working on us. Look, God is working on people whether we see it or not. Doesn't mean they'll be saved. Doesn't mean they'll change. But God is working on people. He's coming into people's minds. People are thinking about Him. God is giving people dreams where they're thinking about, man, I need to get right. God is allowing people to see tragedy around them, see death around them. And then the thought comes in their head, look, I need to get right. It's sad to say some of those same people still won't. But God is He's working. He's moving. So with everything in us, we've got to be strong enough to avoid things we shouldn't be getting involved in. We've got to be putting that difference between God's people and the people who are not. But don't allow that to cause us to be high-minded and feel we're better than what we really are. So may God bless you guys, and I pray that we would continue to seek Him, continue to learn of Him, and continue to help those around you to get to Christ as well. May God bless you guys. At this time, I'll turn it back into the hands of Melvin.
All right. Great message. Thank you, Minister Banks. We do have a few more comments. Sister Rosie says, praise the Lord. And Kim says, greeting in the name of Jesus to all. Praise the Lord to you too. Thank you for tuning in. David says, what is really sad is that there seems to be more division among the people who call themselves the people of the Lord than the people of this world. Lord Jesus, please help us. Yes, that is true. He also says, the word of the Lord also says, unless the Lord builds the house, it will not stand. And Kiara said, basically, divisions come come because of different goals or morals or beliefs. This explains why there are different denominations. And Carrie says, good evening to all. Good evening to you. Susie says, the world needs to hear this. There's too much anger and too many shootings everywhere. And David says, we are not to be unequally yoked. And Kiara says, we are a peculiar people, in quotes, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. And Susie says, bless all of you for this message. So we thank you guys for the comments. We thank you for tuning in. We pray that you guys got something out of it. And going back to the topic of the lesson, I remember Tony said people will always, they're always willing to talk about what interests them. And we used to be roommates. And I remember it was either for our graduation or a family get together. Our third roommate had some friends over and I was outside under the tent, maybe getting fish. I don't know. I think somebody was grilling that day. And I think this was before I started just trying to live right. But I mean, I didn't talk just that much around a lot of unfamiliar or people that I really didn't know. But that particular day I was, and then Tony was still in the house and he said, oh, he heard me out there talking a lot. Oh, it must have been about the NBA because that's the only time I would really talk, especially if it was dealing with the Lakers, because that what interests me back then. Oh, I could talk all day about why I thought a particular player was better than another player. But whenever it came to God, I wasn't always that chatty. I remember he tried to get me to read one time and I didn't know what was going on. And I didn't really care to ask questions either. But I'm glad that one day my eyes were opened. I remember one time I had a job in college. I was a circulation worker at the college library. And a lot of the times it was slow and we were allowed to do our homework or watch Netflix on our laptops. And one of my coworkers at the time, he was really chatty and kept talking while I was trying to watch a movie. And he asked me what movie I was watching. And at that time, I was trying to watch God's Not Dead. I believe that was the movie. And if it wasn't that one, it was something about God. And then that's when things got really quiet. So I guess it worked. But God is a topic that we tend to veer away from very often, because a lot of the times, and like I used to believe, it's like, oh, we have to give up this, we have to give up that. But it's so much joy trying to actually live for God. And that doesn't mean that there are always, that it's always smooth sailing. But I believe that we go through the things that we go through for a reason. You know, either it works patience, it works experience. So when you go through it again, you'll know how to deal with it. And so I pray that we all learn how to fight the right way. There's a place where it says put on the whole armor of God, but it's all spiritually. And I believe that is all of the comments that we have. So thank you to everyone that left the comment and that tuned in and that are going to watch this later or listen to it on the podcast. As my weekly reminder to you guys, we do have Zoom Bible studies every Monday evening at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. We would love to see you guys there. And as I always like to say, rejoice in the Lord always, because today's tribulations are tomorrow's testimonies. Count it all joy. And again, count it all joy. There's reason to be joyful in the midst of every single storm. If the Lord blesses and says the same, we'll see you guys next Thursday evening with another topic coming straight from the Word of God. Until then, you guys have a happy, safe, and blessed weekend. And thank you once again for tuning in. Thank you for listening to our weekly Bible study podcast. We hope you enjoyed this evening's message. My name is Melvin Corners, here along with Minister Tony Banks. You can catch these Bible studies live on Facebook every Thursday evening at 6:30 p.m. Central Standard Time at facebook.com/JMSBible. We have Zoom Bible studies every Monday evening at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Also, check out our website at JMSBible.com. There, you can listen to all of our in-person, Zoom, and live stream messages along with every scripture we've ever covered. Lastly, we have been getting a lot of questions about how people can donate. We have finally opened up a Cash App if you find it in your heart to leave a donation, because running these Bible studies takes money, which Tony and I have been paying since we first started. That name is $JoyStorm12. We appreciate each and every single donation, no matter how small. And remember to rejoice in the Lord always.